I'm very happy to welcome Matt up to the podium again. So round of applause, please, for Matt.
My name is Matt. I'm a compulsive overeater. Down 160 pounds from my top weight, got 9 years of abstinence. Considering there's food in the room, I'm quite positive not everyone here is just to see me, you know. So the one thing that I know is, like, I've been given some amazing opportunities because of Overeaters Anonymous. And I think a lot of my humor and my bravado is my attempt to act as if, you know, to be that cool, suave, debonair man that I would like to be. But I can truthfully say that there's not a day that goes by that I don't wake up and know that I'm here because of the fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous, and that I don't get to live at a healthy body weight, and I don't get to make decisions for myself if it weren't for the unending love and compassion that I get from the members of Overeaters Anonymous. And not everyone gets opportunities like this, you know, like as a member of OA, and I'm very well aware of that, and I'm extremely grateful. And one thing I had my inner group do at our delegates meeting, this OA 12 and 12 was signed by all of the delegates at the San Fernando Valley Inner Group. For those of you who aren't familiar, the San Fernando Valley Inner Group, when you hear, like, the valley, that's where we are. Okay. We clap after you share at a meeting. We're like the Southern Baptists of OA, I think, if there's any. So I wanted to give this to the newest person, whoever that was in the room. And Mary, could you just stand up real quick? I just want to thank you for inviting me and for all of your work. And, you know, she picked me up and she took me up to the Rockies. And, you know, I got tears in my eyes, and I'm sure that's exactly what she was looking for. So, so thank you. Thank you. Judy and Cynthia, will you guys stand up? Okay, you guys can sit down. Just wanted to see if you'd do it. On our ride up to the Rockies, I was showing Tinder to Judy, so... if you find her on that hookup app later, that's what she's... You can find... It's an outside issue, but hey. Today was pretty... I really appreciated... I definitely have the point of view of a man in the program, and I definitely have the point of view of being a young man in the program coming in at 21. And for those of you who weren't here last night, I came in around the program when I was 21. I lost my abstinence at 3 different points, and then it stuck. So essentially, like, I really grew up in this program, and I still have a lot of growing to do. I'm 33, and I still don't know what the hell I'm doing. But I do it abstinently, and I do it at times very humbly with a lot of humiliating opportunities of just not doing it, you know, just figuring my life out as I go. But the whole point is like, this program has taught me that if I work the steps, I get to be abstinent. I don't have to hurt myself with food as I go through my life. It doesn't guarantee that I'm always going to make the right decisions. It doesn't guarantee that I'm not going to have money issues. It doesn't guarantee that I'm going to like my boss or not like my boss. Like somebody told me the definition of serenity is, you know, I had this idea that I had to be this serene guy and I had to be like, when someone pisses me off, well, God bless you. And I just can't live up to that shit. Plus my dad's a minister, so I just, it's not me. And he said, Matt, serenity is behaving appropriately within a given situation. And like that gave me a lot of room. Gave me a lot of room to figure out who I am and to be who I am. And like it never ends. Like my sponsor told me, he goes, abstinence is just the beginning. And you know, we come from this place of this diet mentality out in the world where all these billboards and every advertisement, they all tell you how to lose the weight, but none of them tell you how to maintain it. But you can still see that diet mindset in the rooms, that idea of like, my food was good or bad, or I'm good or bad. And like, let's like start taking the judgment out of all this shit. Because one thing my sponsor said to me when I was always calling him up and I'm like, I don't get it. I always wanted him to tell me what to do. Cause like, I didn't want to do it wrong. So I would ask him so that I could just blame him if it didn't go right. And he started to catch on. And so he took me to the front of the big book where it says, the main purpose of this book is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself that can solve your problems. And one thing I struggle with even today, you know, it's like I'm personally in this place in my life where I'm really asking myself, like, who am I? And what do I want? And what type of woman do I want to be with? And where do I want my career to go? And all these things that don't matter, but they're also all the things that make up who I am as a person. Not the result, but the process. You know, the 12 and 12, it talks about how we confuse the ends with the mean. And what if my sponsor said, Matt, it's about the character building. It's about the character building. And it's amazing every time I think like my character's just grown. It's like then like I just move forward and then like realize I still have there's just more to do, more to, it just never ends. Like. And it's like if you go to World Service Business Conference, you annually are reminded of what you got to work on. So, and I know I'm pretty clear about my mentality at times. It seems very male-female and very us-them. Because as a man with an eating disorder, there's a lot of shame around that, as there is with all of us, you know. And also being a sensitive man and learning to express myself and be open and also recognizing that even with men, in my experience at times in the program, as a man when I had feelings, the women wanted to fix it. And people wanted to mother me, and as I was growing in the program, I wanted to step back because I wanted to find myself. So all I'm saying is like the complications of growing up in program, there it's its own thing. But what I went to the body image workshop today, and I'm having all these huge shifts in my life right now. And what I took away from the body image workshop and what I'm getting here at Region 2, because I live in LA, so like we have tons of meetings and all that stuff, and I'm very, like, I'm blessed, you know, like that's where I found recovery. And so coming to Region 1, or when I went to Houma, Louisiana, or wherever, it is the biggest like reminder and teaches me so much about the character of our fellowship and the fight and the gusto that we have to recover. I mean, we're up here in Calgary, Canada. I had no reason to come up here. You know, it's not like Calgary is not like the tourist destination of Canada necessarily, you know? But, well, but that's my point though, is like it is. And I, so I thought, So I thought, every day I came back from downtown telling Mary something else amazing about downtown LA, or downtown, sorry, downtown Calgary. I believe as a fellowship we underestimate ourselves. We were the fat kids. And at the body image workshop today, what I saw for myself is I'm such a big proponent with my sponsees and with myself with like, look for the similarities, not the differences. Look for the similarities, not the differences. And like, I realized what a hard time I still had with that. But there's something about the stories that I heard today, which were very different than my own. But what was similar and what I valued and everything I heard at that body image workshop today was so much character in the women that shared. And the strength and the honesty and the integrity to own one's truth. And even though I have my struggles with being a man in Overeaters Anonymous and wishing there were more men, I did find a lot of men in the program, but I still have my like annoyances, you know? But what I can say today is, and I guess what I wanna say, and maybe it's in a way my way of making an amends or an acknowledgement, and I hope that this will help me in my relationships with women in my life as well, which is, you all are so strong and fearless. And whether the fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous is more female than male or whatever it's dominated with, I can't deny the fact that I am in recovery because of you all. And to recognize that my recovery and my ability to do the steps and to stay abstinent at the end of the day had more to do with my higher power and more to do with the love of each and every individual who raised me in the program than it ever had to do with my personal opinion of Overeaters Anonymous. And I say this every time I share, which is just that I owe my life. I really owe my life to Overeaters Anonymous. And not everyone gets to have something like that in their life. Because Overeaters Anonymous gave me purpose. And I said I was going to talk tonight about connecting my strength and spirituality, experience, strength, and hope, and then like the three pillars of recovery of, emotional, spiritual, and physical recovery. And my spirituality, it all stems from service. This program has given me purpose beyond Overeaters Anonymous. And the most important part of this is it says in step 12, we practice these principles in all of our affairs. That means that it is my duty to go out there and have a big, beautiful life. And I fight that. And one thing I heard a lot today and that I struggle with is I don't want to be visible. And I don't want to be seen. And I don't know what that's about. It would be a true paradigm shift in order for me to be seen. Because the truth is, I got a lot of attention when I lost the weight, but I didn't really want to be seen when I was heavy. And then now I'm thin, and I don't want to compulsively overeat, but I still don't want to be thin. I mean, I still don't want to be seen. Even though I'm thin, I still don't want to be seen, but I know I can't compulsively overeat. So then I'll push you away. I'll use bravado. I'll I'll be snarky with you. Because when you feel that genuine connection with another human being, as someone who really struggles with genuine sense of self-worth and belonging, that connection hurts. That sense of connecting to another human being and feeling a part of can actually feel painful, especially when you haven't had it a lot. And I don't think it matters what our upbringing was, whether we came from an affluent household or, you know, people would be like, well, I wasn't sexually abused, so I don't know why I'm a compulsive overeater. You know, like we all have different backgrounds. Some of us had great parents, others of us didn't. And it just doesn't matter. Because the truth is, the only way I can find recovery is when I stop and say, this is who I am, this is what I struggle with, and I want to get better. Because at the end of the day, my history doesn't matter. What matters is how I feel today and how I'm going to move forward with the things that I want to do with my life. And the daily reader for today, it was just like, it felt so apropos for me. It is September 17th, right? Because that's the day I read. Because this is not me. That's why this seemed really appropriate for me. Fair and Softly Goes Far. Miguel de Cervantes. Tough love means different things to different people. But the meaning of the word love never changes. If I have a loving attitude toward myself and others, I will treat everyone fairly, whether I am tough or soft about it. Speaking so as not to wound a person can convey a difficult truth more effectively than caustic criticism and ultimatums. As I let go of my perfectionism, it becomes easier to treat myself and others with respect. For today, I have an obligation to myself and those around me to speak and act with fairness and consideration. And what I'm grateful for is that speaks to my character defects. But like the miracle of the program is that I feel comfortable enough today to stand up here and tell you that is what I struggle with. And it is okay. And if I can do it, if I can recover, if I one day at a time don't have to compulsively overeat, then anyone can. The whole idea of like spirituality to me, you know, I talked about it last night, and I need to talk about it. Like I have to talk about my brother. It's the most difficult thing in my life I've ever had to be abstinent through. And because of this program, I've been able to walk through this the level of grace and dignity that I never thought possible. A year ago, my brother had had another suicide attempt, and I was visiting at home. And my parents, just their whole life revolved around him. He was 30 years old, and I went into his room and I sat down with him. And because of this program, like this program has taught me, like this program has given me the experience of recognizing like I have my own higher power and to honor someone else's higher power. And I just said to him, I said, Andrew, I said, what do you need? Because he had attempted several times throughout his life. And I said, what do you need? Like, what are you missing? And he said, Matt, if I want to go, I want to go. And he goes, what if it's the people's fault who keep bringing me back for not honoring what I want?
And I started letting go of him then. And I'm so grateful that program helped me have a strong enough of a higher power to honor his. Sorry. And like I've talked about it and I've done it in my creative work. But like for me, my spirituality and my sense of like finding God and finding a purpose, it stems from being able to stop in the middle of the pain and saying looking for the bigger picture is a little too simple. It just doesn't work. That doesn't work for me. But when I'm in the middle of it, allow myself to experience it. And when I went home for my brother's funeral, my brother was an amazing artist. I mean, I truly believe that I will get my brother's artwork up in a gallery at some point. Like, his artwork speaks to what mental illness looks like. And I love my brother's artwork so much. And I always wanted him to put it up in a gallery and really put himself out there. And he was always like, well, I'm an artist just to be an artist. And in his reclusiveness, that's how it was for him. And he did put a couple pieces up in one gallery one time, and it was a really big deal for him. And in his passing, when we went to the funeral home and we had to figure out how to pay for his cremation. And, you know, my parents don't have a lot of money. And, you know, I was able to sit there and talk my parents through the process and ended up getting the whole thing paid for by the funeral home. My dad's a minister. He works with all these people all the time. Like, help a man out, you know. But my parents were like, oh, my gosh, like, what picture should we use? And I said, let's use his artwork. And I feel like this has to do with program, and then I feel like maybe I'm talking about something that has nothing to do with program, you know? So I feel like I hope I'm carrying a message to you all right now, but my whole point is there are so many fucking gifts that we get to have when we stop making our life about the food and stop making our life about the meal plans and stop making our life about what your action plan looks like. And start focusing on being abstinent, working the steps, being of service, and showing up. Because for me, God has a lot bigger plans for me than what'll happen in a meeting or at my board meeting or even at World Service. Feels like the end of the world when I'm there, but because like I want to see the beauty in life. Like I want to see the poetry in what life offers, even in the sadness, even in the tragedy. And so like my parents and I, we went and we collected all of the most important pieces of his artwork, and my parents couldn't do it. So like I helped set up the funeral and setting up, I did a lot of that stuff, and it was like such an honor. It was such an honor. And I had to wait till the church had a function that was over, and I went to the church and I stayed there till 5 a.m. setting up all of his artwork. And even though it's one of my saddest memories, I can tell you it is probably one of the most important experiences of my life.
because it didn't matter what time my dinner was over, and it didn't matter like if I did or didn't make my 3 outreach calls, or because sometimes like that stuff just doesn't matter. It just matters that you show up and that you do what life has in front of you, because my character is not defined by how good I'm a textbook OA-er or that strong absence checklist that I hate. God. Sorry, I know. I'm just getting my digs in where I can. You can email a board of trustees about it if you need to, Marjorie. Because I've been scared of my life getting bigger. I've been scared of my life having more. I've been scared of wanting more experiences, because I just didn't think that my OA recovery could hold it all. But my God is bigger than Overeaters Anonymous. And I want to see this fellowship thrive. And I believe it needs to, because there's a lot of people that need our help. And what happened was I set up all his artwork, and I didn't know how to do it, and I couldn't figure out. I was just like putting all these pieces together, and I really stopped, and I just said, I had that experience of asking. I was like, Andrew, help me, help me. And then like it all just came together, and I put all of his artwork up. And then the next day, and I moved a couple tables. I arranged the whole room. Well, this is a small church in the South. Well, the next day, the guy who like thinks he's in charge of everything comes in and had a fit. The day of my brother's funeral, the guy is cussing at me because I moved tables. I thought I was gonna lose my shit. And I had a moment, and then I just said, you know what? Because no one told me I couldn't move anything. I didn't do anything wrong. But like, this is the kind of like, I grew up in a minister's family. You kind of are secondary a lot. And even on my brother's funeral, I was like, well, here we are. We're secondary again, even on this day. You know, it's like, Jesus. And I just said, you know what, man? You will figure it out. And I walked away. And then, like, here's the thing. Like, then I went home, and then when I got back to L.A., I'm talking to my sponsor. I was like, I want to write the church a letter about him, because it's not fair. My parents didn't get treated right. I didn't get treated right. And I want to write this guy a letter, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And you know what my sponsor said? He goes, Matt, why don't you focus on being sad about your brother? And I realized that's how I live my life. Because I really am so scared that I won't be able to sit with those feelings and move through them. And losing my brother and moving through this grief, I can honestly say, is that the act of moving through this grief is creating a spiritual experience within me that, while it's so painful, it's the most healing experience that I've ever had in my life. Because nothing will take the pain away but sitting with it. And for me, it's just, it's interesting.
I thought I would be ranting up here for an hour, but that's not happening. Maybe this isn't as entertaining for you all, but like, this is good for me.
We love you, Matt.
Thank you. I love you too. Thank you.
For me, my like spirituality has shifted, and it's so much more about just being open. And being open to opportunity. And I know what I was going to talk about, something I was going to talk about. I was going to tell you about my character defects. I have a couple. And I just finished the most hard-ass seventh step I've ever done. What? How much time do I have left?
24 minutes.
Oh, that, I said it was 24 minutes last night, too, when I asked. It's weird. So I spent about a year on this last seventh step I did. And the thing is, it doesn't really matter what program or you do in your step work in. Like, it's all the same. And it's all stuff that's going to challenge you. And regardless of where your sobriety is, it's all going to have an effect on you. And the one thing I know about my four main character defects, the first one is my victim mentality. I have this idea of, like, the world has just done me wrong, man. That ex-girlfriend, man, yo, she did me wrong. She did do my pocketbook wrong, so I'm definitely going to go by the seventh tradition or the 12 traditions when I think of the next woman I want to date. It's like, is she self-supporting? Yeah, seriously. But, like, what's the opposite of being a victim, you know? And what my sponsor shared with me is it's being self-expressed and powerful. Who wants to be powerful and self-expressed? Like, it sounds great. It sounds amazing. But then if you're fully self-expressed and you're powerful, then that means that I have to take responsibility for my life. And who wants to take responsibility for their lives? Like, I really have to own up to why my life is the way it is and what works for me and what doesn't. But think about it. If I was in the food, I would never get to that point where I get to consider that I can be powerful and I could be self-expressed. It's through working the steps that I get to a place where I can stop and ask myself these important questions about who I want to be and what do I want to do. And like, yes, maybe we're in two different places. I'm 33 and I'm a straight white guy. But you know what? We're all here, like our lives aren't done. There are so many people out there hurting and they need us. It's hard to get people that are retired to come to meetings where young people are at, and that's in Los Angeles. But when someone who has long-term absence comes and speaks at a meeting where young people are at, it changes the nature of the meeting. You all are responsible for sharing your recovery. And the fact that you all traveled here, there's something to me that's very like pioneering about being here. Maybe it's the cowboy hats and stuff. Yeehaw. But like, we're here because we want to get better. But it's like, I think it's also about taking it a step further. Like the big book talks about the fourth dimension of existence. And I believe what's in the big book. And for me, the fourth dimension has to do with a perspective of life and seeing God working in my life in a way that's so much bigger than like what's just right, than the coincidences that happen. That must have been a God shot. That's a God shot. That's a God shot. But it's when the bad shit can happen and you can stop and say, there is a point to this and I'm open to seeing what it is. So my second character defect, I don't think OAers would know anything about this, is codependency. I realize I can be a very codependent individual.
I ate over my codependency. I stuffed my feelings and I stuffed my feelings, and if you weren't doing what I wanted you to do, I would eat over it, I'd eat over it, I ate over it. I just stuffed and stuffed and stuffed. It's just all I did was stuff. But that goes right back into the victim mentality. Like, what you do is none of my business. And what if I'm actually powerful enough to do the things I need to do and you don't actually have to affect me? What if I'm actually that powerful that, like, I can be an independent person living in the world? What if I can love someone, but love them for who they are, rather than thinking I need them to be or do something in order to fill something inside of myself? That's love. That is love. But, like, the opposite of codependency, my sponsor talked to me about, was interdependence. I don't really like that either, because then that means, I got to work with you. You know, it's like, that means I have to, like, tell you what I need and want in a very vulnerable way. And that is very difficult. As a man, as a compulsive overeater, as a human being, you know, I'd much rather text you and just be like, hey. But I'm learning to speak up in a way that's different, where I'm owning what I need and what I want. And I say this because this has taken me 9 years of recovery to get to a point where I'm having awareness of this stuff. This shit takes a long time, in my experience. If you get in here and you got 2 years of absence and you're really doing well for yourself and you're happy in all aspects of your life, give me the pill. And kudos to that show, by the way, guys. That was probably one of the best shows that I've... You know how they say, like, put money in the bank for your recovery? You guys put some money in the bank tonight. You guys did. It was really fun. It was really fun. And realizing, too, like, I need that. I just need to, like, chill out and laugh and, like, have a good time and let it be what it is. So I talked a lot last night about my arrogance, which is one of my other character defects. And the opposite of that is gentleness, which the truth is you all have been teaching me that for the past 9 years. And it's really hard for me to accept the gentleness that you all provide me. And I need it, but I don't want to have to need it. Oh, people are still taking notes. You liking what you're hearing? Pardon? Nothing. And the last one was the way it's been explained to me is I'm very, my compulsive overeating and my weight was a symptom of my social and emotional and even my sexual anorexia. My compulsive avoidance of wanting to be close to other people. And I'm really having to look at how deep those wounds are and why I struggle so much with wanting to truly connect with someone else. Because the opposite of that is vulnerability, to be genuinely vulnerable. And this is me practicing it, you know. And the program gives you opportunities to do that. And service is a way that you get to practice doing that. Service is where you find recovery. I'm going to say that again. Service is where you find recovery. You work the steps, and then you got to practice what you're learning with the people around you and with your fellowship. And when you call someone and they don't call you back, but you see them in a meeting, I'll go up to them and be like, I really wish you would call me back. I would like to talk to you and connect to you. Is there a reason you're not calling me back? Because that's where I get to practice intimacy. I get to practice connecting. It's really easy for me to call my sponsor and be like, I'm going to be eating my food today for breakfast. I'm having this, and for lunch, I'm having that. By the way, what we just ate tonight reminded me of my first year of abstinence. That was my first year of abstinence, exactly what we had tonight. A salad, vegetables, and a piece of chicken. Did that for 3 years straight. Whew. Oh, my God. First time I had rice, oh, Lord. It was a party. I bookended that with my sponsor. But, like, that's how intimate we are with each other. Like, that's how delicate we are. You know? Like, we get to be delicate with ourselves and with our recovery. We get to take care of ourselves. But, like, the whole thing, though, is my sponsor told me I can love you so much it'll kill you. And there are people dying within the fellowship. You know, and we got to talk to them. Or, you know, as much as I didn't like it, the fact that someone noted to me that I had gained some weight, I hadn't weighed myself. So, but you know what? It made me go home and get on the scale. Was I eating compulsively? No. But, like, that's what we do for each other, even when it's uncomfortable. Or maybe it's not. I don't know. It worked for me, even though I didn't like it. Because I got to do this program no matter what. I got to live this no matter what. And I have already said it to you guys, but this whole idea of, like, abstinence is just the beginning. And you okay? You okay? She just yawned. It's okay, I'm almost done. I'm running out of things to say. I have been through the ringer this year. Really been through the ringer. And there will be another year where I'll go through another ringer. But the point is, I stop and I ask myself, how can I use this? How can I use this? How can I use this? And when I work with a sponsee and I start to share my experience, I see how it gets to be used. And I know, like, in Region 1, some of you all may be coming from regions where there's not a lot of recovery, or, you know, but the whole thing is that's relative. Because if you're in recovery, then you're there, and there's recovery there. And we all have a responsibility to carry the message. And I do genuinely believe in a no-bullshit approach to recovery. Following the steps, honoring the traditions, learning the concepts, because they're all ways that I get to enlarge my spiritual life. I get my strength, my experience, strength, and hope. I get my strength from the fellowship. I get my strength through my experiences that tell me that I will be okay with everything that I abstain from. Every minute you do, everything that happens to you and you don't want to abstain through it. Because then it's one more thing that you can say, if I got through that, then I can get through the next crazy thing that's going to happen. Like, just abstain that day. We all hear that stuff. But, like, my thing is like, I'm not going to say, like, sometimes life just sucks. And to me, that's the most spiritual approach I can take is, yes, this sucks. Because that was not acknowledged to me growing up. If I had feelings or thoughts, like, it wasn't okay. Or it was like, hey, Matt, so what's going on? It's like, well, Matt, everyone comes from dysfunction. Everybody's dysfunctional. Well, I get that. But, like, can we do something about this? And my parents have done a very good job. More than anything, they were always trying to get help for themselves and for my brothers and I. And I take that to me is what makes a person a survivor. It's not necessarily what they've been through, but it's their willingness to go to any lengths to find the solutions to their problems. And for today, I choose to be a survivor. Today, I choose to be in recovery as a member of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'm really grateful for the space that you guys have held for me and allowing me to come here and to change and grow in front of you all. Because it just seems a little more dramatic that I do it in front of you guys. It's a little more interesting, you know. So I'm actually going to end 10 minutes early, which normally doesn't happen for me. But, you know, if you guys have any questions or anything, like, feel free to come up and talk to me. A lot of you guys I don't feel like I've seen here this weekend, but just thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, for letting me be me. Thank you.